from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, over Republican objections, the House Judiciary Committee approved articles of impeachment, accusing President Trump of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Trump is only the fourth president to face impeachment. We get your reaction and look at what's next. Then UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has won a substantial majority in the British Parliament, all but guaranteeing Brexit.
And we will get Brexit done on time by the 31st of January. No ifs, no buts, no maybes.
We look at what the United Kingdom faces now and what the election signals for the U.S. That's all next on Forum. Join us. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. A historic day. The House Judiciary Committee approved articles of impeachment against the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Here's Judiciary Committee Chair Gerald Nadler.
Today is a solemn and sad day. For the third time in a little over a century and a half, the House Judiciary Committee has voted articles of impeachment against the President for abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The House will act expeditiously.
Those charges, abuse of power, state that Trump solicited the interference of a foreign government, Ukraine, to his benefit in the 2020 election. The obstruction of Congress charge says Trump directed the unprecedented, categorical, and indiscriminate defiance of subpoenas issued by the House of Representatives. We get your reactions in this opening half-hour Forum, and we're joined by Jessica Taylor, political reporter for NPR. Hello, Jessica Taylor.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Also with us is Jennifer Habercorn, congressional reporter for the LA Times. Hello, Jennifer Habercorn.
Hello.
So, Jennifer, after the marathon debate in the committee over the articles of impeachment yesterday, the approval of today's articles of impeachment felt like they happened in lightning speed. So this contentious debate, the partisan result, do you think the vote of the full House will play out the same way?
I do. I think it's going to be right along party lines. So far, we're expecting two Democrats to vote no, but I don't think there's going to be too many more joining them. It's going to be pretty much right down the middle. We don't have any sign that any Republicans are going to divert from their party and support the articles of impeachment. We do have one independent, Justin Amash, a former Republican who's expected to support the articles. But at this point, it feels a little bit like a fait accompli. We kind of know how this is going to end, at least in the House vote next week, just like we saw in the committee vote today.
And Jessica Taylor, do you see things the same way, that it's unlikely for any Republicans to come over and that the Democrats will be able to keep their defections to two moderate Democrats?
I agree with Jennifer. It certainly seems like that. Even some of the more outspoken members against Trump, even in the yesterday, several Republicans pointed out that, for instance, Will Hurd of Texas, he's a retiring member, represents a very swing district, and has been a very vocal critic of President Trump. He's actually a former CIA officer. He said during he sits on the Intelligence Committee, and during that, he even said that he was not convinced. So you had several Republicans point out that if you cannot even convince the most moderate Republican that probably would be willing to cross over, that's why they point out that this is not a there is no measure of bipartisanship in this. And then you have the two Democrats that voted no on proceeding that seem likely to vote no on this as well. They represent districts that President Trump won. Colin Peterson in Minnesota actually has the district held by a Democrat that voted most for President Trump in a very conservative Iron Range area of Minnesota. And then Jeff Van Drew, who is a freshman from New Jersey.
So, Jennifer Habercorn, what does it mean? What do you think it communicates that we have such a partisan impeachment vote?
I think it really demonstrates just how partisan our politics are right now. It really felt like from the very beginning, each side kind of went into their camps, towed the party line. And, you know, Republicans argue that that is a a point against the articles of impeachment, that it's just Democrats going after the president because he didn't win the election. Of course, Democrats argue that's not the case and that there's real serious charges here and that it's Republicans who've been derelict in their duty and they're putting politics over their constitutional responsibility here. But it really does feel right now, being on the Hill, talking to lawmakers, that this has really become about, are you an R or are you a D? Mm-hmm. And both sides are really hewing to what their party leaders are saying.
Though it is interesting, Jennifer, that Republicans aren't necessarily going as far as Trump to say that his call was perfect, that he did nothing wrong, except maybe Matt Gaetz of Florida. But most of them are saying that the president did not commit impeachable offenses, impeachable actions.
That's right. We've seen very little defense of what the president said on the call. And in, to your point, very few have repeated the president's comments that the call was perfect. They have lots of criticisms about what Democrats are doing, particularly focusing on the process. Typically, what we see around here is that when you start talking about complaints about process, that you don't have much argument to make on the merits. Republicans would say that even on the merits, if this call wasn't as great as the president says it was, it doesn't warrant removing a president from office.
Jennifer Habercorn is a congressional reporter for the LA Times. We're also talking with Jessica Taylor, political reporter for NPR. And I want to invite you, our listeners, to join the conversation, get your reactions to the events of this morning. The number 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can get in touch on Twitter, on Facebook at KQED Forum, or email your questions to forum@kqed.org. Are you feeling joy, anger? Are you feeling solemn? What are your questions about impeachment and what's next for Congress and President Trump? And speaking of which, Jessica Taylor, so the vote is expected next week in the House, possibly Wednesday. Then what happens? Can you remind us of what activities we will be seeing in the Senate?
So Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, has already indicated that this is going to take place after the holidays. And he has said that, you know, he wants to keep this as short as possible. Republicans have even talked about not calling really any witnesses at all. And he's also said that he's going to be in touch with the White House in regards with how to do this, that they will, and that he's going to essentially act in the way that he wants them to. So, I mean, this is and that's sort of telling in itself, even though this is, you know, that the senators are essentially acting as jurors in that way. But then you also have with this House vote next week, I mean, first of all, I mean, I think that Thursday actually would have been the anniversary of the impeachment vote against President Clinton. So I think that noteworthy that Democrats are probably wanting to avoid that on that same day. So I think that's why we will see it the day before. But, you know, they're passing a defense bill. They're passing this. They're going to vote pass this, you know, USMCA trade agreement. So, I mean, they're going to point toward, OK, we've done this, but we're legislating, too. And that's what I think a lot of these vulnerable Democrats, the Republicans, have pointed to and said, OK, they're going to take this vote, but they're going to pay for it. They want something, I think, to balance it out. And I think it's important, too, to remember that, I mean, no one wanted this impeachment, I think, less than Speaker Nancy Pelosi, that some of her more liberal members, yes, have been calling for this for years now, but she had resisted, I think, as long as she could, even, you know, after the Mueller report came out earlier this year. But I think that with what has transpired with Ukraine and the phone call and then the whistleblower complaint, I think she really felt like that it was building within her caucus and that something had to be action had to be taken as per the Constitution.
Well, let me go to our callers who want to weigh in. I'll start with Chris in San Jose. Hi, Chris.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I feel like a lot of the focus on the impeachment over the past couple of weeks has taken a lot of the wind from the sails of trying to find a candidate that can beat Donald Trump. And I'm hoping that maybe we can get back to that focus, because as we move forward, I feel like the shift is going away from watching the debates and watching the candidates, and we're losing power of being able to find somebody who can replace Trump. And I'll take my comment off the air.
Thanks, Chris. And I'm sure Jennifer Habercorn, the Democratic candidates, feel the same way, though impeachment will be looming over the nomination process.
Oh, absolutely. There was a lot of focus by House Democrats of getting this done by the end of the year so that this doesn't linger too far into 2020. I mean, at this point, it seems like it will be a main focus in January. But as Jessica mentioned, the Senate is looking like it's going to do a pretty quick trial. But Democrats were really worried about that. They want to have this done in 2020 so that their candidate can kind of take the reins in next year and make a more positive case against the president of what they would do and what he or she would do instead of Trump, instead of the 2020 race really focusing on how Democrats are trying to remove the president from office. Whether that's going to be successful, of course, we don't know. And how big of a focus impeachment is going to have when voters go to the polls next November, little too soon to know. But certainly this is going to be a main talking point, at least through Iowa, for the Democratic candidates, whether they want it to be or not.
Well, let me go next to Dave. Hi, Dave. And where are you calling us from? Dave, are you there?
Yes, can you hear?
Yeah, I can now.
Hello.
Hi, Dave, can you hear me? Go ahead if you can.
I can hear you fine.
Okay, great.
Okay, yeah, so there was an article I read by John Dean about
I think
impeachment
you read an article by John Dean on impeachment that said what?
We can try again.
Why don't you try calling us back, Dave? I'd like for you to have a chance to ask your question. So go ahead and hang up and call us back. In the meantime, as we look ahead, one of the things that is coming up quite a bit is Mitch McConnell's close relationship with White House counsel in determining how the trial in the Senate moves forward, Jessica Taylor. Can you talk about that and how unusual that is?
This is pretty unusual, I think, that, you know, he has talked with the White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, and, you know, has said that they are going to coordinate and work on a strategy to defend Trump. So, I mean, you know, I think that they are acting in the way that the White House wants. Again, I think that even with this happening, with the way that the Senate is right now, with Republicans in control, I think that much like this House vote has been, I think that the conclusion is foregone, is that they're nowhere near because this isn't even just a majority in the Senate, it is a two-thirds vote, which means they have to have 67 votes to convict.
Mm-hmm.
And they're nowhere near that. There are about three senators that could be swing votes, I think. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine, possibly. So, I mean, there are not a lot of, you know, wavering votes there that even if they are doing this, I think that it's not going to change hardly any minds, really.
Well, one thing that some Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee are doing, Jennifer Habercorn, is actually calling on leader Mitch McConnell to recuse himself. Val Demings of Florida said something along the lines of, he's working hand in hand with the White House, with the president's attorney, and we're supposed to expect him to manage a fair and impartial trial.
Yeah, that's right. McConnell's comments yesterday, which came on a Sean Hannity's show on Fox, really riled up Democrats because they feel like this is, the convicted person, Donald Trump, being able to really shape the trial. And Senate Republicans have tried to put up an argument that they're the jurors here. They need to remain objective. Clearly, McConnell is not worried about that and is a little more concerned about making it clear that he's working with the president here. All that said, again, Senate Republicans have 53 votes and they would need Democrats would need 67 votes to hold up the conviction of the president and remove him from office. And that is all but impossible to see happening right now. So Republicans are really debating in their chamber whether they put up a big trial, which is what Trump originally seemed to want, and have a very elaborate process, or do something quick because they feel like they have the votes and let's just get this over with.
You mean in terms of a motion to dismiss, potentially?
Yeah, or even just, you know, whether
no witnesses and make it even really tight.
Trial.
Yeah, yeah. Dave in Oakland, I understand you're back. Go ahead.
Yes. This is Dave. Hello?
Hello. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so there's an article I read by John Dean about suggesting that the House hold the impeachment until the election. And if we don't beat the guy, meaning Mr. Trump, then maybe we'll win the Senate and then we do impeach him. I see that as a logical idea, just to hold the impeachment over him.
Yes, Dave, thanks. Your reaction to that, Jessica Taylor?
I mean, I think that we are also at just an uncharted territory here, because we've never had an impeachment happening for a president that is running for re-election. Andrew Johnson was not renominated by the party to run again, and then Nixon's was starting it in his second term. He eventually resigns. Clinton was in his second term as well, and so we really don't know what kind of impact this could have. But I do think that with, as another previous caller mentioned, I mean, Democrats, I think, probably want to get this over as much as Republicans do, because they have to move on with picking their nominee. Whether this could maybe even, you know, by Joe Biden is leading the field right now. He has, you know, brought up the fact that really all of this began because President Trump was so worried about facing him and trying to sully his name, and what the work that his son Hunter did with this Burisma energy company there. And so whether that could sort of help him, as, you know, he has certainly campaigned on them as being the most electable person against Trump, and clearly the person that they are worried about. We will also have next week a Democratic debate that, if the schedule that we believe it as now stands, this impeachment vote would happen Wednesday. We will have a Democratic debate on Thursday. I think we can anticipate a lot of that, but I don't think that there is any interest in holding this thing out, you know, very, very long. That I think that this vote is going to happen in January very quickly, and that it will be certainly an interesting case study for politics going forward of how an impeachment, although with a likely acquittal, could impact a president up for re-election. You have Trump, whose approval ratings have remained fairly stagnant throughout his presidency, really sort of in the either high 30s or low 40s for his approval, but also a strong majority or a strong plurality who – a very, very strong – people who strongly disagree. Is that when we see in polls that there's a growing number of people who strongly disagree with him, but then you also have an economy that is strong, and typically we see presidents who are running for re-election, if those economic numbers are strong, that they get this. So there's a lot of unusual factors happening, and then you throw in impeachment, and I think it just makes the 2020 election that much more volatile.
Well, let me go to Tracy in San Francisco. Hi, Tracy.
Hello. Hi. My question is, well, more of a statement. I am curious how a huge part of our political process could ignore the morality cause in this. I mean, where are the gentlemen and gentlewomen of our Senate and of our political parties? Because it seems to me like this could make a defining difference in who we are as a nation. And actually, my friend in Kentucky went to a party this past weekend with Mitch McConnell, who spoke, and he said he knows that Trump is a corrupt president in this party. And so why would they be defending him? And why do they not consider themselves to be leaders yet, slaves, or excuse the term, that's a bad term, but, you know, to the voters? I don't understand what has happened to our politics in this nation.
Tracy, thanks. Well, Jennifer Habercorn, regardless of the way that Mitch McConnell runs this, the House does have a role to play in the trial process. And as such, you've talked about how Californians could take center stage in the Senate impeachment trial. Can you explain how?
Yeah, that's right. The House will have to pick several what they call managers to lead the Senate trial. They essentially will act as the prosecutors, presenting the House's case for impeachment to senators. And the Senate trial is pretty interesting because senators are typically allowed to say, you know, they kind of have the floor. They can talk as long as they want. But in a trial, they have to be silent, and the managers will control the process. We'll only hear from these House prosecutors as well as the Supreme Court Chief Justice, who will oversee the trial. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will pick these people. We're expecting several Californians to be in that mix. She hasn't decided who that's going to be yet, but certainly Adam Schiff, the congressman from Burbank, who's been the House Intelligence Committee chairman and led a lot of the investigative part of this, is very likely to be a top contender for a slot. Eric Swalwell is likely to get a look as well, because he is both on the Intelligence Committee and the House Judiciary Committee,
yes,
as well as Zoe Lofgren from San Jose. She was actually a staffer during Watergate and then obviously in the House during the Clinton impeachment trial. So she's been very up close to the process of impeachment, also on the House Judiciary Committee. And she's really well respected among her colleagues for kind of being an even keel lawmaker as well as close to Pelosi. So we don't know exactly who those House managers will be yet, but we're very likely to see many Californians with a role in the process.
Well, David writes, the GOP impeached a president over lying about a sex act, yet they refuse to take action on a president who has bribed and invited foreign powers to meddle in our elections. History will not be kind to them. Bill writes, will we ever see the full transcript of the Zelensky call? And Bradley writes, as President Trump is wild and unpredictable, it seems plausible to me that he could commit additional impeachable acts or that new facts could emerge that might sufficiently bolster existing impeachable considerations. Could or would the House pick up the investigation again? And actually, Jennifer, the investigation is not over. The Democrats, House Intelligence Committee members say that the investigation is ongoing.
That's right. Adam Schiff, the House Intelligence Committee chairman, has said that his investigation is going to continue. He's interested in whether there's more to the story before the president had this call with Ukraine President Zelensky in July. And it's a little uncertain what would happen if more information came out. There's speculation in Washington as to whether the House would try to impeach the president again. That seems pretty far-fetched at this moment, but we are certainly living in interesting times. But the fact remains that the House is going to continue to investigate, and anything they find will certainly play a role in 2020 if Democrats choose to put it front and center. There's no reason to think that the ice between House Democrats and the president is going to thaw as soon as impeachment trial is over.
Well, we just have a minute left. Let me see if I can squeeze Bobby in. If you have a quick question, Bobby.
More of a comment. Thanks for having me. So the Dems were happy now. We're going to impeach him in the House, but soon we're going to the Senate where we don't have the votes. This is a president that's been known to take a victory lap or 100. How do the Dems plan to manage that process in the Senate where they don't have the votes and make sure it doesn't waterfall us in the other way?
Right. In 20 seconds, Jessica Taylor, you know, the president will likely call what happens in the Senate, an acquittal in the Senate, an exoneration.
He definitely will. He's already using that. He's already trying to play down impeachment already. He has just now said, you know, that he doesn't care if it's a shorter or long process, but that, you know, he's called it impeachment light and not a credible process. And you'll hear him and Republicans continue to say that.
Jessica Taylor of NPR and Jennifer Happercorn of the LA Times. Thanks, both of you. And thanks to our listeners for their questions and reactions. Stay tuned for more Forum.